Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and blessings, wonderful people. Welcome to the hottest show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Vernon Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum. I'm the host of the No Romance Without Finance show. But today, we are going to be doing something a little bit different. We're actually getting ready to do a simulcast. We're going to join in to another show by a dear brother who's doing a workshop, I believe, tonight, or at least he's doing a special show tonight. We know that there's no romance without finance, and we've focused our attention on getting the finances and getting the paper right for a good long while now. So we're going to actually explore a topic that he's brought up. It's called intimacy in your marriage. So we're trying to heal relationships and bring some of the good energy back into the relationship. So what we're going to do is tune in to that broadcast, and that is what we have planned for tonight. So I'm going to see if I can't make that connection. I have all the dialing information here, and thanks to our good sister, our good dear sister, Gidget Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sister Gidget.
Wa alaikum salam, family. How are you this evening?
Feeling good like a woman should. I'm getting ready to connect us with the, our counterpart over on the other side of town. See if we can connect the guys.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
All right. One second. Go ahead and dial the number. Feel like my granddad trying to look up all of this stuff and do it all at once. All right, here we go.
Start meeting. Share better. Please enter your meeting ID followed by the pound or hash sign. Please re-enter your meeting ID followed by the pound or hash sign. Please re-enter your meeting ID followed by the pound or hash sign. Please re-enter your meeting ID followed by the pound or hash sign.
That doesn't seem to be working very well. Perhaps I need to try it another way.
Please re-enter your meeting ID followed by the pound or hash sign.
Brother Vernon, did you get 644-850?
Yeah, I'm trying to dial
Please
that.
Wait while we connect you to an operator.
All right, let me try it a different way. Tuned in. Hold on one second. I'm about to join us with the other line. I'm just trying to dial in through a different connection. All right, and I'm back, and trying to connect that way did not work, so let me try it again one more time.
The post And so often that is the case in our marriages. We want our brothers to show leadership. And I've been in rooms where there was all these men, and I asked that question, and all these women, and not one brother would step forward. And it's always funny to watch. But whether we know it or not, our wives, our women are looking at us as men for leadership. And so we would like to welcome all of you, men and women, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, to tonight's conference call and webinar on this topic of intimacy in marriages. And we expect to have a huge turnout tonight, because everybody wants some more intimacy in their marriages. And we want to welcome everybody and let you all know that we are so grateful and thankful to Almighty God for the blessing to be before these microphones to share with you anything in 2013. And I just want to thank him for all of his blessings to all of us, keeping us safe and guiding us through these weeks and months and these years, that we could be here tonight safe.
Please enter your PIN followed by the pound or hash sign. Thank you.
Some Lakeland family, I pray all is well with everyone, and we are so honored and blessed to be here and alive in this day and time with each other, and to learn from each other and just experience love and unity, as our brother Abdul Sharif Muhammad tonight will be telling us about love and unity. So we are excited about our topic of intimacy. And as we learn about intimacy, we're going to learn about all the different levels it is to that intimate relationship with your husband and with your wife.
That's right. So there's a lot that we're going to learn tonight. And as soon as our brother and sister come forth, we will go ahead and get started. They're not here with us at this exact moment, but they are on the way. And we would like to tell everybody, if you have not heard by now, the fourth annual marriage retreat it has been finalized by the grace of Almighty God. We are headed to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. We want to encourage you to please go to our website, that website being www.blackmarriageretreat.org. That's www.blackmarriageretreat.org. And from September 12th through September the 16th, we will be in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, attending this fourth annual marriage retreat. And we have a wonderful price for you and your spouse. It is only for couples. It is only for married folks. It's not for single brothers and sisters. It's not for, we're very sorry about that. It's not for people who thinking about marriage, who want to go test drive a sister or a brother. This is not the place for you at all. This is for folks who are already married, have been there, and are wanting to work on their marriages. And I want to make it clear that coming to the fourth annual marriage retreat does not mean that your marriage is in trouble and that you need to work on your marriage, otherwise you ain't going to be together. It don't mean that at all, beloved brothers and sisters. What it means is that you and your spouse have recognized that we need a little tune-up, you know, because sometimes, you know, you can go through a year or 2 years, and you could actually have some things develop between you and your spouse that you wasn't anticipating, that you wasn't thinking about and whatnot. And we want you to know that we all need a tune-up. We all need to take a look at some things. So this is not going to be anybody lecturing to you. We want everybody to know that. You know, that's not our style. That's not the way we get down. We flow. We are actually going to give you some wonderful exercises. We're going to do a whole lot of role-playing. We're going to have a whole lot of fun. And you say, well, what is the price? The price is, very simply, $520 per couple for $520. You and your spouse can, it covers your lodging. You're going to be lodged in the beautiful mountains of Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. You're going to be in a cabin in your own private love nest between you and your beautiful wife, your beautiful husband. You are going to have private shower, private bathroom, and most of the rooms, from what I remember correctly, they got jacuzzis in the room. You know, some of them have jacuzzis, and then you go into the actual cabin part. You're going to be in a cabin with other folks, but you have a private bedroom, and nobody's going to be listening to you, hearing your business, because, you know, we got, if I remember right, we had a cabin. The cabins were so huge, you on one side of the building, another one's on another side. So all your personal business is going to be respected and protected, and you're going to have a beautiful time with us, and we have invited many of our brothers and sisters from last year. They will be attending as well, and you're just going to have some swell time. So it's $50 registration per couple. Again, this is not something we do to make money. This is something we do to help couples who really would like to work on their marriage, who really would like to, you know, try to keep it together. And so that's why we do what we do, dear family. And you can, again, can access all of that information at, excuse me, you can access it all at www.blackmarriageretreat.org. That's O-R-G. That's blackmarriageretreat.org. We also would like to tell you about our next part, which is we have a new blog that we do, and the blog is something that you should tap into so you can keep up with us and we can keep up with you. And the blog is very simply entitled MarcusShares.wordpress.com. That's MarcusShares, plural S, .wordpress.com. And we would like for you to please, when you get an opportunity, we posted it. We're going to post it in the chat room with us, for those of you who are in the chat room. And we just want you to go and please take an opportunity once the show is over and check us out and see what you think of our new blog. All right? So with that, I think we hopefully in a moment will be ready to begin. Again, we have so many people on the line right now that we just feel so blessed to have you all. Thank you all for being part of this tonight. I hope that you all had a chance to enjoy the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He was preaching hard. You know, Alicia Keys, that's a beautiful sister, and she actually said in one of her songs that she is on fire. Alicia Keys ain't got nothing on Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. The Honorable Minister Farrakhan was on fire on that broadcast, brothers and sisters, and I hope that you had a chance to experience him. And if you have not, you can very simply go to www.noi.org/thetime, or just www.noi.org, and you can get all the information. You can also access the Honorable Louis Farrakhan via the YouTube. Just go to fcn.com, and you can get all of the minister's videos, and they just have some wonderful brothers and sisters who are working to help him to advance the message. So one second as we get ready tonight and bring our brother on. I'm just trying to find his number. I'm looking for a 773 number. Okay, there's my brother right there.
I'm already on, Brother Marcus.
I got you, Brother Sharif. All praise is due to Allah. Brothers and sisters, please join me in welcoming Brother Abdul Sharif Muhammad and his beautiful wife, Sister Sharifa Muhammad. Brother Sharif, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sir. Sister Sharifa, assalamu alaikum, ma'am.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Praise be to Allah. You have an open mic, and we certainly look forward to that which we're going to get from you tonight. For those of you who are uninitiated, because we have a lot of different area codes here, a lot of brothers and sisters are filling these lines up. We're not sure exactly who is who, but for those who don't know, I'm very honored to introduce to you Brother Abdul Sharif Muhammad and his wife, for they have given much of their life and their time to developing the Nation of Islam and serving us in tremendous leadership capacity. Brother Sharif Muhammad is now serving as the Southern Regional Student Representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and he is quite a dynamic brother who has much accomplishment and service to our nation. He has also served in the capacity of the Supreme Captain of the Nation of Islam, as well as various captainships throughout the Nation of Islam. And Brother Sharif, I have to tell you, I'm just very honored to welcome you to our show, and we are very happy to have you as well. And then, of course, we have our beautiful sister, Sister Sharifa Muhammad, who is a human dynamo in her own right. I could not have Brother Sharif without Sister Sharifa, because Sister Sharifa is a servant leader, an extraordinaire, and she has served as the, I think, is it the Nation of Islam, a vanguard captain. All right, did I get that right? All right, very good. My wife is here to make sure I get that right. And she is a national vanguard captain, and she is a leader of women. We got two people, one who leads men, one who leads women, and both of them are very excellent at what they do. And tonight, they're going to be talking with us about this topic of intimacy. And Brother Sharif and Sister Sharifa, why don't we give you the floor to talk to us for whatever length of time, for a few moments, about what is this thing called intimacy that we're talking about tonight? What is intimacy?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Intimacy is, I know everyone thinks, oh my goodness, we're going to have a juicy talk about sex. That is not what intimacy is.
Okay.
Intimacy is the closeness between individuals in a relationship. But I want to describe it the way the Bible describes it in Philippians. It says, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my, Christ's, joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Intimacy is the little thing that we do after having had a relationship, a connection with another human being in a loving way. It's small things and great things. Small things like a touch of the hand, a look across the room of comfort in a time of need. It's understanding when someone having a problem, and it's understanding when to step in and save someone gracefully in a conversation or in a situation. And then it's large things, things that only you will know about your mate, things that will make that person exceedingly happy, that may be as simple as bringing a daisy instead of a dozen roses. These are little things that are intimacy, little personal connections, things that keep the neuron firing of love in the relationship.
Okay. Very good, Sister Muhammad. Would you please remember that you're talking to a whole lot of people, and you have to, your voice got to stay higher or a little bit up, because you went down toward the end, and we want to make sure that everybody gets to hear you and Brother Sharif, and this computer don't go no louder, so that's what you're coming through to everybody at.
Okay.
Now, you said that intimacy was us getting closer. And who? After the relationship. Okay. Now, the first intimacy that we are supposed to experience really should be between a mother and her child. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct.
Okay. Now, Sister, help me, and Brother Sharif, jump in here as well. What happens to us? And first I'm going to deal with the female child. Suppose the mother don't like the daughter in some kind of way. Suppose that's the case. Or the son. Suppose that she don't have no intimacy toward that son, that daughter. What could happen to that child if the mother-son, the mother-daughter relationship is not right? some kind of way. Hello, did I lose you?
I would say, can you hear me?
Yeah, you kind of low.
Okay. All right. It's Bilal Rahman Rahim. I've been witness there is no God but Allah, Muhammad is the Messenger. As-salamu alaykum. Now, if you say what you asked, the question is, what would happen to that daughter or that son if the mother shows the son or the daughter no love? That would be correct.
Yes, sir.
That calls that son and a daughter as well to come up very cold, and then they would transfer that same feeling toward a mate if they get involved with a mate. So that's one thing that would happen to that child, the male and the female. As well,
okay.
Also speak on that.
Okay, very good.
Also, that child, Brother Marcus, will not succeed and will not blossom and will not grow, will not develop into the god or goddess that he or she could because of lack of nourishing. And because we live up as human beings to expectation, if you feel that your first goddess, your mother, does not expect anything of you, then you do not perform at optimum level. You cease to develop.
Okay, that's very, very true. And I think, now, tell me about this. What about the father's role? If the mother is deficient some kind of way in her displaying of intimacy, could the father sometimes, you know, if he's there, could he pick up perhaps the slack of the mother, maybe, and in terms of empathy, in terms of intimacy and giving that child intimacy? I'm starting here for a reason. Go ahead, please.
Absolutely. If the father steps in, you know, our children see themselves as 50% father, 50% mother. If the father steps in, the father can even overbalance that, and he can give the child the experience of being valued, the experience of being loved, the experience of being expected to succeed through intimacy and through just being a good father. That can happen, absolutely.
Okay, very good. Okay, so what we would like to really begin with, you know, we're talking about intimacy, and we're talking about that first relationship that you're supposed to have with someone who is loving, someone who is caring. And if that did not happen for you, dear brothers and sisters, then how did you go into your adult life if you did not have a good relationship, if we did not have a loving relationship? Because Brother Sharif, Sister Sharifa, we are meeting people out in this world today in 2013 who are so deprived of intimacy, they don't have any close relationships with anybody. Would you speak to that for a moment?
I would say, you know, a person that does not have any relationship with their parents, that's brought up in this whole world without a man for whatever reason, that's why the Abdul Qarqar has given us a dynamic.
Okay.
I would humbly suggest to everybody that we take advantage of what the Abdul Qarqar has given us, and that's dynamic. Because I'm telling us all, that's what's wrong with the world now. The world needs love.
Right.
And the fact that we don't have it, this is a way of getting it back. Because that does not mean that you cannot get it because you don't have it. If we use the tools that the Honorable Farrakhan has given us consistently, we can get that love that we want. What's wrong? I believe that.
Okay, very good. Because, you know, so many brothers and sisters say that, you know, they don't have this love in their life, this intimacy in their life. They don't have love, Sister Sharifa, even with self, you know. And you know, you find even among us, those of us who've been taught, we're supposed to love self a little better than what we do, but we still got these hang-ups. And so you're recommending that we get involved with this Dianetics auditing so that we can perhaps remove some of that, the negative things that have happened in our childhood, as a way of getting a better love for self and a better relationship with other people. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. The Dianetics auditing process actually helps us to deal with, it's like therapy. Think of it like therapy. It helps us to deal with our issues from our past so that they no longer harm us as we walk into the future.
Okay, very good. And we need that, brothers and sisters. All of you who are listening on our Strong Nation, Strong Black Family show, we want you to know that we're welcoming you live to the show tonight or to this webinar. We want to let our sisters and brothers at Clean Glass Productions know that we love you, we welcome you to the show, and we're just talking, getting acquainted with what this topic is all about. Intimacy, and what happened to the intimacy? Aren't we supposed to have intimacy when we say I do, Brother Sharif?
Yes, and that's why the courtship process is so important. Because if we're going through the courtship process as we should, even in the courtship process, we can recognize, oh no, we need to go get in that chair, we need to get in that chair, the opposite chair together. Before we go any further, we need to go get in the chair. Because right now, we realize that in the courtship process that we're not intimate as we should be.
That's you mean you can see that in courtship that you and this person may not be as close as you could be? You can see that in courtship?
Yes, you can recognize that in the courtship. You know, see, when you are spiritually based,
yes,
you can feel the spirit when you first meet somebody.
Uh-huh.
You can tell, really, if you're a spiritual person, you can tell, oh, no, there's a whole lot of negativity coming this way. You can say, this is a positive spirit.
And so because we do feel it, because we do feel this spirit coming off this person, we can tell that it's going to be a few problems. Because remember, brothers and sisters, no matter who you find out here in the wilderness of North America, you're getting, Sister Sharifa, is it fair to say that they're getting damaged goods?
Absolutely. There are none perfect but the Father. That's how
okay.
The scriptures say it. But we know that every person who has life experiences has had a few bumps and bruises along the way. And those bumps and bruises show up in our relationships and how we deal with one another.
Okay, and so when they show up, we ought to know that, and we ought to recommend. Would you, now, this is a question that comes to me and Sister Cecilia often. Would you recommend that a new couple, a new brother and sisters who's in courtship, would you recommend this auditing process to every couple before they get married? Would you recommend that they go and get some hours of auditing in before they say I do to each other?
Absolutely, 100%, yes. Emphatically, yes.
Okay, so that's clear. Brother Sharif, are you in agreement with that?
100%.
So, Malaiko family. To pose the question, because we do have some listeners who are not registered Muslims in the nation, why is it necessary that we go back to the courtship process that we are taught in the nation? Why should the whole community look at that as a safer way of learning about a person instead of the way they're doing it now with dating?
Well, I would respond. My response is this: you see that what they're seeing in the world now, look at the divorce rate. The divorce rate is high in every phase of religion. Why? Because we're not doing it the way God wanted it done. If it was going to work the other way, it would be, the divorce rate would be down. So I would my opinion is coming from all the little fire guard is that while Mr. Muhammad's way is the right way. And that's the courtship process. And that's why we should go all the way back. When I say courtship, I'm talking about going and ask if the father is living, get permission from the father, and get permission from the mother, or get permission from the uncle, or whoever the male person has in charge. And if the male person is not in charge, then ask the mother.
Okay, so you're talking about some real old school, old fashioned values. And you know, the more you look at this society, brothers and sisters, you have to agree with something that brother is saying, which is that we need to go back to some of them old fashioned values, because we didn't have this mess that we currently have among us as black people when we was doing it some of the old fashioned way. Is that right, Sister Sharifa?
That's absolutely right. You know, our grandparents and great-grandparents had it a little bit better than we do, because they examined the young man when he came to the house to get their daughter. Who are you? What do your parents do? Who are your parents? What church do you belong to?
Right.
What are your plans? Where are you taking my daughter? They had it right. They questioned. When you court someone, you are taking them to court by questioning them. You are asking them about their motives, their motivation. What are you doing? Where are you going, and where are you trying to take me? These things are important, and we lost that in the dating scene. It's just go out and have a good time, and we'll lie to one another. And then when we find ourselves in a real-life situation, having started a relationship, we're not prepared for the real person that emerges after that time. But through courtship, you get to see the real person if you ask real questions.
And are we afraid, Brother Sharif, to ask real questions in these courtships?
Oh, no doubt. That's why we so messed up. Because we are afraid if we told the truth, we wouldn't get married. So we just fake it and really lie our mission all the time, and then that's why we end up in a divorce court.
We lie in courtship, Brother Sharif?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Now, that's powerful that somebody would be misrepresenting themselves in the courtship process. But brothers and sisters, those of us who've been married a little bit for 5, 10, 15 years, there are probably some things we wish we had known about our partner before we got married to them. And so I think that, Brother Sharif, you said something that's very powerful and very true in our conversation tonight. Now, we're still on intimacy, but we're talking about getting closer and intimate in our courtship relationships before we move to the marriage, because you should have had a courtship before the marriage. There should have been, brothers and sisters, some process that you took your husband through, some process that before you took your wife through, that should have led to some discovery about who this person was that you were about to tie your life to. Now, Sister Sharifa, as we get closer to the marriage, you know, are you saying to us that we shouldn't get all lovey-dovey before we start asking some good, hard-hitting questions? And what are some hard-hitting questions that you should ask before you start giving your heart away as a woman to this man, and before he starts giving his heart away to this woman?
I absolutely think that if you are lovey-dovey, that means you are falling. Love, we always describe the emotion. It's an emotion. And we want to not think, we want to deal with facts and not emotion. Love is an emotion. And love is something that you fall into. And if you've ever fallen, you are off balance. You are not balanced. You're not making a decision. You're not on firm ground. So if you're falling in love, you don't want to forget while falling and not ask important questions like, do you have a job?
Oh, wow.
Where do you get your job? Do you clean, sisters? Have you ever been taught to clean? Can you cook, sister? Can you cook, brother?
What do you do? What is, how many children do you want? Oh, you can't have children. Oh, you don't want children. These are things that we should discuss. Oh, you have children. How do you discipline the children that you have? What are your feelings on discipline? What is, what faith will we rear our children in? Those are all questions that you have to ask. That's just a few. Just some starters. The things that we need to discuss before we get married.
So what you mean, as a sister should ask a brother if he's working?
Absolutely, because that becomes important when you want to eat and have a roof over your head and have a light and when you like, you know, air conditioning and heat. Those things become important.
I mean, you're not prying a little bit if you want to know if he actually has a real physical residence that he lives in, Brother Sharif. That ain't prying a little bit for a woman.
No, that's not prying. That's not prying at all. You better ask him, because most times you'll find he's staying home with his mother.
Woo! Not the mother.
Oh, Mom, oh, yeah, she welcome him to say that, too. That's not a question.
Okay.
That's real.
Okay, now that's very important, and we, you know, I'm saying it in a joking way, but you would be surprised at the horror stories that we hear throughout this country of sisters who moved in with a brother. She didn't ask no questions. She just got lovey-dovey with this brother, and she fell in love way too quick. He had a cute Facebook picture. I think it was his brother that he was actually showing you. And then when she married the brother, he didn't have none of the things that he had talked about, or vice versa. The brother was with a sister on they met somewhere on some little network, and it turns out that the sister wasn't exactly honest about what her situation was. So we need to really slow this courtship process down, at least so we can ask some questions, some real pertinent questions. Now, let's go to the wedding and the marriage and the honeymoon for a moment. Now, you would think that people would be very intimate at the honeymoon or the actual wedding day, but there's so much drama that goes on around weddings these days, Sister Sharif or Brother Sharif. You know, what kind of drama could happen that could mess up the intimacy at a wedding?
You know, weddings, that's an interesting subject. We could have a whole show on weddings.
That's right, come on. That's right.
That's a suggestion. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that the thing to do is to go to the courthouse, get married, and save your money and spend your money on things that you actually need, like a home, a car, or something like that. However, we seem to be a culture that's caught up in having a ceremony that celebrates the wedding. Things that can happen at a wedding are multiple, because there are so many emotions, because this society hypes it up as the big event instead of focusing on having your spiritual self so that you can be like-minded, having a union with the other person. This society focuses on that day instead of the whole marriage. But everything can go wrong on your wedding day, from the cake being wrong to it being too hot, too cold, to somebody not showing up, to the dress being a disaster, and all of those things will ruin your day. But it does not have to ruin your marriage.
Wow.
Marriage is what is important. It's the life that you live after that. That's just 45 minutes, and then that's over. You spend a whole lot of money for 45 minutes.
That is very, very true, and I have seen folks spend up to $20,000 for the wedding itself and was divorced, Brother Sharif, within 6 months, you know? And that's not right. That's not right to spend that much money, but I guess people say, well, if you got it, you might as well flaunt it. That's the kind of society, quote-unquote, that we're living in. Brother Sharif, now, when should sexual questions be asked in a courtship, or should they ever be asked?
Well, the sexual questions, you shouldn't get to that until you really find out first. You get through the courtship process, and you should ask the person straight up, do they have any diseases? Well, you want to have sex? Let's ask about the disease first. Are they clean? And then don't take their word for it. Some little part God told us everybody must take the test. And then they have to be willing to take the test, not only just take the test, but to show you the result, and you show her the result. Because what's happening now, and I'm telling you, this is happening all over, people have diseases and they're trying to hide it.
No.
Oh, yes, sir. So now, that's why you have to take the test and get the result. And if you don't know how to read it, you got to get somebody who knows how to read the result.
Okay, and I know you know this because you have served our nation in so many capacities, brother. When you actually heard the Honorable Louis Farrakhan say that we should get a test. What was that you were trying to tell us?
That everybody have to take the test for the disease.
The blood test.
Are you clean? Not just you call it the blood test, but the blood test. Not just for the sake of getting a blood test, but the blood test for the different types of diseases that's out there.
Wow, and that is so powerful because, you know, we teach these young people about STDs, sexually transmitted diseases for the uninitiated, but brothers and sisters, this is not your father's Oldsmobile. The level of STDs are tremendous out here in 2013. And brothers and sisters, we don't want to be under any illusions about what it actually is, especially when we starting to talk about getting married and whatnot. And you recommended everybody do this before they get married. Find out.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, sir. And also, Brother Parker,
yes.
Louis Farrakhan told us that if a person's been married more than once, the wife or the girl, or the sister that's getting ready to get married, go and talk to the ex and find out what happened. And the brother should do the same thing.
He should talk to the ex of the woman?
That's right.
Suppose he's a little timid. Suppose he's a little afraid. He don't want to do that. He just want to, he not with her now. He want to take that position. I'm with her now, and that's all I'm worried about.
But then if they do.
Okay. Okay, very good. See, we can't, brothers and sisters, we have to talk about intimacy from a variety of different levels, especially if you have some who are on the line tonight who are thinking about marriage and who may not be conscious of what they actually are getting into and the levels that this thing goes. Now, let's get into this thing, intimacy, a little bit better. Sister Sharifa, would you agree that intimacy needs are the heart of a marriage? They say the word intimacy actually means inmost. Intimacy suggests a very strong personal relationship, a special emotional closeness that includes understanding and being understood by someone who is very special. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And that is the point of being married. Not the ceremony on the day, but the ultimate goal is for us to be of like mind so that we function as one person and so we have complete understanding of one another.
Okay. Now, I also would like to say, Brother Sharif, with what I just shared, don't you have to be very mature to be able to, as this says, to be understood and to understand someone who is very special? What kind of maturity do you need for that?
First of all, you really need to be spiritually mature.
Okay.
That's number one. And that's where we fail at. That's number one failure. But we should be spiritually mature. And we see, in dealing with our young people.
Yeah.
Most of them married real quick without questioning and asking questions. And especially for those that have been married for a long time, we should go. That's a wealth of knowledge.
you want to be mature, be mature enough to go ask someone who has been married for a long period of time. Not somebody who's been married 20 times, 20 different times. No, that's not a good advice. Find somebody who's been married for years and is solid in their marriage, and then ask real serious questions.
Okay, now, I think that that's a very excellent point, especially tonight as we're talking about intimacy. It also says that intimacy has also been defined as an affectionate bond, the strands of which are composed of mutual caring, responsibility, trust, open communication of feelings and sensations, as well as the defended interchange of information about significant events. Basically, they're saying to us that intimacy means taking the risk to be close to someone and allowing that someone to step inside your personal boundaries. Now, Sister Muhammad, is that harder for men to do than women? And if so, why?
Absolutely. I think it's because of the gender roles that are traditional. Men are taught to be harder and to conceal their emotions. Used to be in ancient times, so they could go into battle and not cry. But but men have sustained that, and they are taught to conceal their emotions more, to hold it more together, because as men are leaders of the household, they have to have a certain amount of restraint and control. So they want to appear as if they are less emotional. It's not true. Men are just as emotional as women, but it's more difficult under those circumstances for them to show it.
Wow, Brother Sharif, come on now. Men are just as emotional as women. Isn't that a stretch, Brother Sharif?
I would say men are emotional, but they just aren't. But you have some women. Now, these days, you have some men that don't have no problems doing their emotions.
I was listening to the radio, and the song was telling me that when my woman cry, I should cry, and we both should cry together.
Yeah, but that, it doesn't matter who's singing that song. It's probably a song playing, singing.
Well, we are seeing a brand new breed, another kind of man. Sister Sharifa, men are much more emotional in 2013 than we used to be. Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
I think it's wonderful for men to be expressive of their emotions. Within reason, we don't need to have two of the same kinds of energy in the house. One of us has to have a different kind of energy, and in this world, there seems to be an imbalance now where women are going for the last trick and becoming very masculine, and men are becoming more feminine, which will take everything out of balance. But it's great for a man to show emotion, but everything in moderation.
Okay, Sister Sharifa, what about thinking like a man and acting like a lady?
Well, you know what? There's no way you are as you think. If you think like a man, no matter how much you try, you are going to act like a man. I love the movie. I thought the book had some great points. But if you think about the title, Think Like a Man and Act Like a Lady, if you think like a man, you're going to act like a man. That's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan caution us as women from behaving in certain ways, even if you enslave acting as men, because what you think like, you will act like. You will become that. So I want you to think like women and act like women, but we have to understand one another because we both have within us male and female energy. You want to understand it, but you don't want to get into that you are not, unless you become other than your own self.
Brother Sharif, where can a man go to learn how to think and act like a man?
Mr. Muhammad, men.
Yes, sir. All right. I just want to make sure that there was a place that men can go to learn how to be men. And if you're not in the Atlanta area, you can visit the mosque and study groups all over the country of the Nation of Islam, www.noi.org, where you can find out more information about that. Okay? Now, Cecilia had a question.
Now, going back to what you just said, Sister Sharifa, we want to help the brothers to understand with the connection, with intimacy with their wives, how important is it for them to understand how much of their wife needs communication from them as men and how that is according to her nature?
Now, you know absolutely that women are communicators. We communicate in 1,000 different ways, with a look, a movement, but mostly we communicate verbally. And what we need from our husbands is the same. We need to be heard, and we need to listen to what you think. We want to meet your mind, and the only way that we can meet your mind, to know what your mind is thinking and what your heart is saying, is if you tell us, and that's absolutely important. And tell us the things that you can't tell anyone else. Don't tell us in a public room. Tell us privately. That's what intimacy is. It's when you share the secret thoughts of your heart, the secret desires of your heart, the thoughts of your mind. Those are what develop a good marriage, the intimacy.
Now, if I can't share with my wife my intimate thoughts, what could happen if a man can't share it? If he finds himself hesitating, Brother Sharif, when he's about to share something that's really deep and important to him, and he just can't share it with his wife, what could happen to that man?
Well, what would happen to that man if he can't share it with his wife, he'll find somebody else to share it with.
Now,
that's another problem.
And it most likely won't be another man. Because when I was doing my research on this, and I know just from being a man myself, that men, we don't tend to get down like women in terms of sharing and sharing secrets and whatnot like that. We'd rather keep it to ourselves, but we are open to sharing with another woman. Is that what you're alluding to?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm saying straight up, if you don't tell your wife, you're going to find another woman, and you're going to tell her.
Wow. And that could cause its own set of problems, as you said.
Oh, no doubt. That's going to create a set of problems on both sides.
Okay, because if a man is not giving, or a woman is not giving their intimacy, their closeness to their spouse, then they're opening up a door that, you know, maybe they don't want to open.
Yeah, that's true. They shouldn't open it.
Because
that's what's going to happen.
They're going to
open up a door that they don't have
a problem trying to
close.
Okay, now that's very powerful. That's very powerful, Cecilia.
Now, Brother Sharif, with the sisters needing the communication for intimacy, could you tell the sisters what brothers need for them to be intimate and to get close with their wives? What do the men require from their wives to grow their relationship closer with intimacy?
Most importantly, the main thing is for the wives to close their mouth so they can listen, so the man can talk and listen to the man. Oftentimes, women want to just talk and don't want to listen, but they want the man to listen while they talk. So in order for the man to get closer, then we'll have to ask the female to please listen. Whether you like what the man's saying or not, whether you agree with what the man is saying or not, at least give him the respect to listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to him. Not talk over him. Not talk while he's talking. Listen. I'm crying out for the black man. Listen to him.
Now, Sister Sharifa, let me say this. Do women have a problem with listening to the black man, to their husband?
Absolutely not. Black
women do not have a problem listening to the black man. All we want to say is, I think that men sometimes, once you stop, you very rarely do it. They're in the well with a damn verse, and you start going, you just make a flood. And you don't want, you no longer want to have a conversation. You want to give a speech. And women like to have a give and take, some reciprocity. So bear in mind that we all have to study the art of conversation so that we learn how to give and receive, to listen and then speak. But, sisters, listening is very, very important. And a lot of times, if you listen and observe, you'll learn so much about your spouse.
Okay, and like what? What kind of things can a woman learn about her spouse through listening and vice versa?
She'll learn the secrets of his mind. She will learn to understand what really motivates him, what is important to him, the things that, what are his intentions towards everything that he does, what moves him, what gets him excited, and those things that you need to know. Those are the things that will help. So
you said that that's powerful, the secrets of his mind. And Brother Sharif, we don't, as men, we don't reveal the secrets of our mind to just anybody. You got to be close to us as a man for us to reveal our mind. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, that takes time, all time, that takes time. Yes, sir.
Okay, so you can't get that, and I want to say this for our newlyweds who are striving for perfection in the first 2 or 3 years of their marriage. You can't get that kind of closeness until you put some time in with another human being, especially in a marriage relationship. Sister Sharif, is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. As I was looking at the subject of intimacy, I realized that it occurs over many, many years. It develops through the cycles of life, death, just living everyday occurrences, the many joys, the many sorrows, the ups, the downs, the rich, the poor, all of that builds the intimacy because it's an issue of, there's a matter of trust and loyalty that comes with being close to your best friend all that time and realizing that your spouse is your best friend.
Now, what about the couple tonight, Brother Sharif, who are hearing us, and they're sad because they say, my spouse is not my best friend. What do you say to them?
They need to start communicating. They need to start to communicate with each other because if somebody else is your best friend, then there's a problem.
Now, they say that because they're telling me in my other room here, they're saying that we are communicating, but we're arguing. Every time we communicate, it's a big argument. It's a blowout argument.
There's something wrong in the communication. Because if you arguing and blow out, then there's somebody not listening. I wish you could ask them to give you an example.
Okay, they're typing it out now, and they're saying that when we attempt to have a simple conversation about, for instance, I ask my husband, how are you doing today? He will turn it into a full-scale argument about how I'm doing today, how he's doing today. You know, what? Some men, this is a little preface on this, some men just seem like they don't know how to have this kind of intimate conversation with a woman, Brother Sharif. You know, and again, you mentioned it earlier about role models. Who are our role models of how to have an intimate relationship with a woman? So what do you say to that couple that's having this argument? The wife says she can't talk to her husband because every time they talk, he's blowing up over every little thing. What happens? What happens to a man that when he gets to the point where he's blowing up over everything? Is he stressed? Is he angry? If so, why does he seem like he takes it out on the woman?
Well,
see, first of all, that sounds like to me, that brother, as well as the wife, need to get in the chair, the auditor's chair. Because to me, for her to say, how is your day today, that triggers something in him that goes way back to the past, and he brings it right on up to the current time and takes it out on her. That is a problem. That's why we need to go and get audited, because he has an engram, or she has an engram, because that's a trigger. If you were to say to your husband or to your wife, how was your day today, darling, and then that creates an argument, then that's something wrong. That tells you right away, something is wrong. Now, you may not know what it is. That's why if you get in that chair, the article chair, and you take it right back, and you can get healed, and then the next day, you can ask him, darling, how was your day? And then you'll see a big difference.
Okay. Also saying?
Now, in saying that with the trigger, Brother Minister, if you can please address to help our brothers out here where if finances is a trigger for him right now, knowing that we're dealing with the fall of America, what is advice you would give brothers about their finances and bringing in income if they having a financial intimacy issue?
Well, to me, that's why counseling right now is so important. I'll use this as an example. If the man was making X amount of dollars and taking care of the household, and the wife was working, but she didn't have to really contribute to the household unless she had or wanted to. Now, because of the economic downturn, now he's not making as much money as he once were. Now that's stress. Now he has to depend on her to help with the finances. That's stress. Now that's when, if he's not used to that, and now she's making the money, she's considered the breadwinner, now that's going to take an adjustment. And what we as most black people don't want to do, we don't want to get counseling for that. So the stress, the frustration of not being able to take care of your household like you once was able to do it, now when you begin to take it out on the wife that's willing to help, that takes counseling. And getting counseling does not kill black people.
Wow. You said getting counseling doesn't kill black people?
No, not in this world. It does not.
Okay, so if we're having some kind of financial intimacy problem, and we're about to take you through a few of these scenarios, brothers and sisters, tonight we're joined, just in case you're joining us right now, we're joined tonight by Brother Student Representative Minister Brother Abdul Sharif Muhammad. He's the Southern Regional Representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and he's joined by his lovely wife, Sister Sharifa Muhammad, tonight, and we're so grateful to have them. We also are broadcasting live on Nation Building Movement program, and we're also broadcasting live on Clean Glass Productions, and we're so honored to have both of them to be carrying our show live to their listeners as well. We want to take a look at the different kinds of intimacies that there are, because again, Sister Sharifa, you opened up the show talking about generally when we, especially black people, we think about intimacy, we're generally thinking about sexual intimacy. But there are so many other kinds of intimacies that contribute to the overall thing that we're talking about when we say intimacy. One of those, brothers and sisters, is recreational intimacy. You can be intimate with a person when you're sharing fun, hobbies, recreation, leisure, refill. It refills your well of energy. There's another type of intimacy called intellectual intimacy, where you're sharing the world of ideas, a genuine touching of persons based on mutual respect for each other's mind. All right? That's reading, discussing, studying, learning. There's another one called work intimacy, where you share common tasks, support each other in bearing responsibilities. For example, you're raising family together, doing housework, yard chores together. There's another one called commitment intimacy, togetherness derived from dedication to a common cause, values, for example, working together for a religious cause like the Nation of Islam. There's one called aesthetic intimacy, where you share experiences of beauty. For instance, music, nature, art, theater. Do you mean, Brother Sharif, Sister Sharifa, that these intimacies, they all are they as important? Are they equally important? Well, what do you think? What's your sense of it?
My sense of it is that they are all equally important, because if you leave out, listening to the descriptions of the different kinds of intimacy, if you leave out any one of them, you are causing an imbalance in your relationship. You are missing out on an aspect of life that Allah God has made very important for us, that He is, that's one of His blessings that you're denying. So those become absolutely important.
Okay, for the last couple of ones is communication intimacy, brothers and sisters, where we're being honest and trusting and truthful and loving, giving constructive feedback. That's called communication intimacy. Then there's one called emotional intimacy, sharing of significant feelings, touching of our innermost selves. Creative intimacy is another one, helping each other to grow, to be co-creators, not reformers of each other. Then there's a sexual intimacy that we discussed, but let's break it down. Sexual intimacy is sensual emotional satisfaction, experience of sharing and self-abandon, and the physical merging of two persons, fantasies and desires. We'll talk about that in just a second. What about crisis intimacy, standing together in the major and minor tragedies of life, closeness and pain and problems? And that last one we talked about, which should have been first, spiritual intimacy, the awareness of sharing intimate concerns, the meanings of life, philosophies, and religious experience. Brother Sharif, what do you think about those?
With all that, communication, with all that, the face of that is we have to be honest. That with your honesty, we'll tie all that together if you're going to be honest. Now, you can fake it. And, you know, we do fake it a lot in these different categories. And we fake it for so long. But to me, to tie it all together, you have to be honest.
And I think that that's so important, because you can have all of that, but if we're not honest people, because honesty is the basis, Sister Sharifa, of this intimacy, is it not?
Absolutely. You have to be honest with yourself and honest with your spouse, and you have to be able to be open, to be able to open yourself up to another person. And a lot of us, we like to hide our true selves. But with your spouse, you have to be able to feel trust enough to open yourself up. And you have to expose yourself to potential danger in that.
Now, what happens, Sister Sharifa, Brother Sharif, when intimacy breaks down on any of these levels that we just described? Let's take the worst case scenario. We are married now, but we don't have any real communication going on. There's no intimacy. There's no sex at all in the relationship. We just live in the same house. We're practically roommates. What happened there? What brought us to that point?
That sounds like total disconnect. That sounds like on the spiritual level, we miss each other. We have missed the whole, you know, when you have a spiritual idea at the base of your marriage, you have a commitment to God's family nation. And when you have a disconnect of that degree, that means that there has been a breakdown in the hierarchy, and that we started. We missed God first. We left Him out of the equation because we're not doing His will. We are not being fair or just to one another. And when you leave at that point, you are on your way out of the marriage, because you have stopped having the benefit of marriage. You can be a roommate, but then you have to be married to have a roommate. But when you are married, you have the benefit. Membership has its privileges.
Come on.
It's a privilege to being married. So with privileges come responsibility. and with responsibility there is duty. So in all of that, you have left out duty, responsibility, and you have really just given up on the love. What happened to the love? So we're on our way out of that marriage and on our way really to becoming roommates.
Wow, that is so powerful. Cecilia, go ahead.
And as we talk about intimacy, let us, Sister Sharifa and Brother Sharif, let us talk about the social media like Facebook and Twitter. How has this destroyed a lot of marriages for intimacy when you're doing a lot of the social media?
Well, you know that the social media is a wonderful tool, but when we stop seeing it as a tool for communicating our ideas and lofty thoughts, and you start using it for personal gratification, when you are laying in the bed with your spouse and you are on the social network rather than talking to your spouse about your day, and you are on the social network letting everyone know through Instagram and everything else what your day has been, that's a problem because it's redirecting the energies that you should be giving to your spouse. You have to really make an effort in this time of great technology to use your personal energy to separate what is public from what is private. And your private life, your energy, your thoughts, you have to give that first and foremost to yourself. And for, as a couple, you can develop what will be your public expression of that.
Okay.
Because we've heard this before, so when wives are telling their husbands they're sick of them on Facebook talking to ex-girlfriends and those type of scenarios, then the brother should understand, even though the sister may not be right there in your face, that type of communication with an ex-girlfriend or ex-boyfriend, they have to understand that that is a break in their intimacy. Is that not true?
Of course it's a break in their intimacy, as well as cheating is what it is. They're being unfaithful. They're opening the door for infidelity on the physical level because it's already infidelity on the mental level. That's what you're doing. You are spending time with and giving your thoughts over to something or someone that is in or from your past. And that is a dangerous, dangerous thing. If we're not talking to that person as a couple, perhaps we don't need to talk to that person.
Wow. So you're suggesting that, you know, if you actually have a friend out there that's not friends with your family or your husband or wife, then maybe that you and them shouldn't be friends.
Absolutely. I don't have any male friends that are not also friends of my husband, and they have to be a friend to my marriage. I will cut you off quick if you start talking against my marriage, male or female. You have to be a friend of my marriage.
Okay. Very powerful, Sister Sharifa, in what you're sharing. Brother Sharif, what about this brother that, you know, has all of these protective mechanisms up, you know, from the society, and he don't know how to let go and be, you know, intimate with his wife because, you know, everywhere he goes, when he goes to his job, he's shut down. I mean, he just does his job, he comes home, or you know, he's not part of anything. He doesn't have any friends. He doesn't have any real religious affiliation. You know, he may attend the mosque, but he's not part of it. He doesn't make friends with anybody. Or he may attend the church in the same scenario. What about him? His wife wants to have a close relationship with him, but he has all of this armor on, this protective armor to keep her at bay, keep anybody from reaching the inner core of him. You talk about it when you talk about this black box that black men have. What about that black box in terms of this topic?
Well, I would say in terms of this topic, the black box, what I didn't have at that time was Dynetics to go with the black box. I would say, so that's your man or that's brother, is that since he's locked everybody out, he's almost locked his own stuff out. That's why he needs to get in that chair with Dynetics and let an auditor work with him. I'm telling you,
to all the brothers that's listening, do not be afraid of getting audited. It's one of the best things that the Auburn Rouge Park has brought to us. I'm going to say it again. It's one of the tools, one of the best tools that the Auburn Rouge Park has brought to us. And that is audited. And I'm telling us, brothers that's trapped, that I call it trapped in that, if we get in and get out of it, we can get out of that. Because that's like being in a cage, locked up for the rest of your life, and you want to get out and don't know how to get out. So now you can't relate to your wife like you really want to, because of all these circumstances that surround that. But if you get in that chair and get out of it, you come out of that doggone jail cell, and you happy, happy, happy.
All right, praise be to Allah. Sister Sharifa, do sisters have those kind of issues that keep them from having genuine intimacy with their husband?
Yes. A lot of times there have been past relationships or childhood abuses that prevent sisters from being able to share or to become close in certain ways with their spouse. And again, I would repeat what my husband has said, that chair, that auditing process will benefit each one of us greatly in the process of healing from our past.
Very, very powerful. And brothers and sisters, we are suggesting to you something that, you know, has been around now for the last 2 or 3 years, but so many of us are so, I don't want to say we're against it, but we're so afraid of letting go of that past. Brother Sharif, why won't we let go of negative things that have happened to us in the past?
Because we really don't know how. That's all we have had, and we love. That's what the old folks say, you love, misery loves company. That's a part of that. And that's considered unknown. All we know is negativity. And now somebody brings something to us that can get us out of the negativity, and that's all we have known is negative. We fight that, although it's good for us. But I would say for brothers and sisters, let go of the negativity. When you got married, the passion. Most of the people, if you ask them now, married couple, are you happy? They'll look around and say, to be honest with you, no. But you ain't get married not to be happy. So if you want to be happy, get in that chair and let it go. Let it go. Get in that auditor's chair, my brothers and sisters. Don't fight what's good for you.
Yes, sir. Now, Cecilia had a question. Okay, well, she wants me to ask it. Okay, I want to talk for a moment, Sister Sharifa, about the time that it takes, because we mentioned it briefly, and we're going to open up the floor, brothers and sisters, for questions from the audience in a very orderly and civilized way in just a moment, because we don't want, you know, to have any repeats of anything crazy. Nobody better not put on no audio tape for us today. But let me share this with you. It said in our research, Brother Sharif, Sister Sharifa, it said 90% of strong couples, and apparently some kind of investigation of 1,000 or so couples was done, and that the results came back that 90% of strong couples say that they spend a great deal of time together. And I wanted to ask, do we need to spend more quality time together or quantity of time that we spend together? Give me the how intimacy works, because you have some husbands who are not able to be at home. You have some who are truck drivers, some women who travel during the week. If I'm not there with my husband at all, if we're gone for any certain length of time, can we still have an intimate marriage?
Absolutely. I have to bear witness that you absolutely can.
you know, it's not the quantity, it's the quality of the time that you spend together. And what you have to do is make every moment that you spend together count. You know, studies have shown that what happens when you walk in the house in the first 4 minutes will determine how the evening or the day or the morning, whenever you walk in, will go, how the encounter will go. So for the first 4 minutes, when you walk in the house, sister or brother, make them positive, make positive statements of affirmation, make it a time of love and greeting, and that will set the tone for how the time will be spent together. So what you want to do is spend quality time together. When you plan your time, my husband travels a great deal, so we had to plan our time together so that we had great times together, quality time, but even when we were apart, because we have spiritual agreement on what we are working on for our people, we are in intimacy. We are having an intimate relationship because we are working on the same thing. We're on the same team.
That's very, very beautiful and very powerful. Of what you just shared, Sister. Brother Sharif, you know, because you share so much of yourself with us in Atlanta in our student ministry meetings, you know, how did you maintain the intimacy with your wife when you were gone so many months helping the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan? I mean, that seemed like that would have been a difficult thing to achieve, but you did it by Allah's grace, along with your wife. Tell us a little bit about that, please.
I thank Allah, we've been married over 32 years.
Praise Allah.
What I would say, what really helped us, see, when you believe in the same God,
mm-hmm.
and you trust in the same God, and you put your total trust in God, that's the key. So when we are together, we're together in God. See, they say 50% of your marriage should be your faith. And we have a strong faith, both of us have strong faith in God. So when we are gone away from each other, that's just the difference, but the soul is still together.
Uh-huh.
That's how I felt. No matter how far I was overseas, my soul was still with my wife. And she goes, look, and one thing about my wife, just because I was overseas, she could stay in the house. My wife was traveling everywhere. But she was a National Bearcock Captain. So she was still traveling. We were still going to work. See, if you're in the same work, you understand each other. But oftentimes what happens is, if the man is working and going, and the wife is standing still, or she's at home, then she's longing for that man because she ain't doing nothing staying at the house. See? And that's where the problem starts, because I'm at home all the time, walls are closing in on me. That creates a problem. But when she's moving, I'm moving, and she's coming back home, although I'm gone, but we're strong in faith. And like Donald Lewis Farrakhan said, a woman can have your children, make your children love you, or she can make them hate you. And when I came from overseas, or when I came from anywhere, when I hit the door, my children were there. Daddy, because you put love in them for me. Now, if you come home and your children don't come, or they run out the back door, and you come home, the front door.
Wow.
I thank a lot to my wife because she put up with me all these years. That's how we've been together. That's why I'm saying faith, strong faith. Keep God at the center.
All right, now, that's very powerful what you just shared, Brother Sharif. Sister Sharifa, how do you in your marriage keep an intimate relationship with God at the center of your marriage? How do you do it as a wife? Because we got a lot of wives listening to you right now, thousands of them across the country. They want to know, how do I deal with this brother that's a little crazy or a lot crazy? How do I keep my sanity and keep my relationship tight with the God that Brother Sharif keep talking about?
Pray, and pray much. And remember that it's the responsibility of a wife to pray for her husband, to
to help him and to honor him. And then do your duty. I keep myself together. No matter what is going on with him, I have a responsibility. And there are things that I am responsible for that I have to maintain for myself. And even as an individual, I have been blessed to come to the earth at this time to do a particular thing. You have to understand what your purpose is, and you have to live your life on purpose. But pray for your husband, and pray and pray and pray that you be of one accord so that you can be a proper helpmeet to him.
Now, I have people in the chat room and say, well, what do you pray about for your husband?
Everything. I pray for his health. I pray for his finances. I pray for his talk. I pray for his walk. I pray for how he, his emotions. I pray for his safety. I pray for him to be more, or whatever is going on, whatever I think about that I could either love or hate him for, I pray for that. If he has gotten on my last nerve, I pray for him to get off my last nerve. And I pray that Allah remove from him whatever it was that put him on my last nerve. And I pray for more nerves so that my family will always remain strong. Because remember, it's God's family nation. There is no nation of Islam without strong families.
That's exactly right, sister. And that's why we are inviting you and your husband to be a part of this fourth annual marriage retreat. That is a, we're going back to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and we're going to go even deeper into this subject on intimacy when we're not on the airwaves so folks cannot hear what we're talking about when we do that. Brother Cherie, let me just say the website, www.blackmarriageretreat.org, for those who want to attend the fourth annual marriage retreat. Brother Cherie, what about that man? Because sometimes it seems like men look to women to do all the praying, all of the fasting, all of the spiritual things when it comes to the marriage. Do men have any responsibility to keep this spiritual intimacy going, or this intimacy going in the marriage at all? Should the man pray for his wife? And if so, what should he pray for? Should he pray for his family? Should he pray for himself?
Of course he should pray. Pray for himself, pray for his family, pray for his wife, pray for his marriage, pray for his finances, pray, and continue to pray. That's why we pray over 5 times a day. We need to continue to pray. We need prayer more than we need water. We need to pray. And now, why we pray, see, most men, because of the finance. See, that's what we're going to have to get on next. I know we don't have the whole subject in itself, but we need to discuss the finance, because that's a big problem in the black family. But in the meantime, so we can continue to have finance, I want everybody, Brother Martin, that's listening to me, to write down your Respect for Life bookstore at gmail.com.
Okay.
Your Respect for Life bookstore@gmail.com. The phone number is 404-565-0939. 404-565-0939. I want everybody, every family, every couple to buy one Supreme Bean Pie from Respect for Life bookstore at gmail.com.
All right.
You're not too far away and you're not too close. We'll get that bean pie to you. That will help you keep your marriage together. The Supreme Bean Pie. Please order it from your Respect for Life bookstore at gmail.com. Please.
All right, and very good, because, you know, we definitely need to build our own economy in our families, especially if what we're doing is not working. And so that's an excellent suggestion, Brother Cherie. You know, we have one of the best-tasting bean pies. We say the best bean pie in the Nation of Islam right now. And I don't want nobody to argue about that, because we just have it. We just have to, you know, accept those things as facts. But Brother Sheree, I wanted to open up the floor for questions, because we got so many people on this line, and I see I'm about to let everybody who has a question, you know, have a chance to speak. So I'm going to my active speakers, and will you all take a few questions, Brother Sheree, Sister Sharifa?
Say that part again, please.
Will you take a few questions?
Yes, sir.
Okay, praise be to Allah. All right, let's go. Let's see if we can get somebody on the line who will ask a good, clear, crisp question. Hold on one second here while we find somebody. If you have a question, just press *6 on your phone so we can recognize you on our grid. I see somebody automatically. They said me, choose me, you know, because we want to get this out. Just one second here. We'll figure out. Now, if you are asking a question, brother and sister, please make sure that your line is clear. In other words, that you don't have no background noise on your phone. Hold on one second. I know somebody here has one. Just hold on, brother and sister. We're going to make it. All right. Oh, and now also clean glass. If there's anybody on your line that would like to ask a question, they can ask it right now if you don't mind. Clean glass, if anybody would like to ask a question, they can ask it right now to Brother Sheree. All right. Hold on one second here. I see somebody. I haven't quite mastered this technology, as you all can probably figure out. But just hold on one second. We're going to get you in just a second here. All right. One second. We're so happy that you all have joined us tonight. And, oh, I can't see how to do this. Just one second, family. All right, if just ask a question in the chat room for those who are in the chat. Okay, I see you now. All right. I see 301.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, this is Sister Sharita, ex from another Clean Glass production in the Sisterhood Connection Blog Talk Radio, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Wonderful, beautiful conference. And I thank Sister Sharifa and Brother Student Minister Sharif. We do have a question. We have a question from our beloved Sister Sharice Muhammad. Sister Sharice, your line is open, beloved, and Sister Diane would like to ask a question. Sister Sharice?
Thank you so much. Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much, Brother Sharice and Sister Sharifa. And Brother Marcus for the questions and the answers. My question today is, how long actually should the courtship last? And Brother Marcus, you answered that question when I listened to you last week. And for our young people, what is the proper way to courtship?
That's all my questions.
Okay. Did you all hear that, Brother Sheree?
Not clear. It didn't come in too clear. Can you repeat it, please, Marcus?
Yes. She yes, asked. Can. Okay.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. You asked us.
She asked, how long should a courtship last? And for young people, what is the proper way to court?
Well, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan told us that we shouldn't rush the courtship process. So it really doesn't have a certain time on it now. But we should take our time. As far as giving us a date, I don't have that. Now, as far as the next question, part two was what?
About young people and what's the proper
way.
The process, the court, for young people to court each other.
The proper, if you ask me what's the proper way, in the nation, the proper way is, I don't know if you're talking about outside of the nation, but in the nation, the proper way is, if you find somebody that you're interested in, our way is, you go to the brother captain and turn the name into the brother captain, and let him know when you feel like we have paperwork that you fill out. Turn into sister devil. That's the proper way. And we have a courtship manual that I'm quite sure you can get from Brother Marcus or one of the clean glass. They should have it. We have a courtship manual with all the questions and answers in it.
All right.
Yes, sir. Brother Marcus?
Okay, yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Sir, we have another question. Sister Diane, your line is open, beloved.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Marcus, Brother Sharif, Sister Cecilia, Sister Sharifa. My question is for Sister Sharifa, and that is, in this time, you know, we know that it's important to help out with the finances in your family. But so the, what do you think about a sister going out and work in this day and time? It seems like an unsafe time to be kind of like exploring to try to find employment. I mean, do you suggest that the sister find some type of in-home business? But again, in this day and time, what as far as the safety issue, should it be an issue that we have concern about? And just what is your how can you give more information on how we should go about trying to help? Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum. I think that what you have to do is what you have to do, what you need to do. If you need to help your family, if you have to work and you need to go out and help your family, your husband needs help at this time, it's very important that you go ahead and do that. But, you know, in terms of working home or working out, it's where you feel safe and what your comfort level is. There's no prohibition against taking a job, you know, at different places. In terms of outside of the home, if you are comfortable, if you are prepared for that environment and you can be safe in that environment, by all means, assist your family in that way. But working at home is great, and that's great work if you can get it, and it's wonderful. And working for yourself is wonderful. It all depends on you as an individual and what you are prepared for in terms of work and in terms of protecting your own self.
Okay, very good.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much. All right, we have a question that is asking the question, since we're talking about intimacy tonight. This is coming out of New Jersey with the great Brother Tim and Sister Rhonda. They're asking about the importance of us continuing to date after we marry, or courtship after marriage.
I love it. You should always continue to court and to date. We call it date night, and we keep up with one another, touch bases. It adds romance. It adds another level of intimacy. Whenever you can spend time being together and having special moments, you're creating a life together. You know, you don't just live, you don't just breathe to get up and work and to eat and subsist and just live. Living is enjoying your life, and that's a very important part of your life. It's the pursuit of happiness. So you should spend a good portion of your marriage in the pursuit of happiness with one another. Dating is important.
Very, very powerful and very wonderful. All right, let me continue on these lines with brothers and sisters, because we have a lot of people whose hands are raised to ask questions. Let me go to James Parks, 302-259. You're on live with Brother Sharif and Sister Sharifa. 302-259. You're on live. Can you hear? Okay. All right. We're not sure exactly what's going on there, but that's okay. Let me go to my family that is in the room. Any other questions from the clean glass, brothers and sisters?
Yes, it is.
Oh.
Brother Marcus, I had a question. I'm Sister Sharice Muhammad, and my question is, in marriage, what is, and this may be for Sister Sharice, what is the best way to encourage your husband in not only in propagating the faith, but also encouraging him for work, for bringing money in the home, for the finances, and those sort of things?
All right. Sister Sharifa?
Yes, sir. If I'm understanding her question correctly, she asked, what is the best way to encourage your husband not only in propagating the faith, but in terms of working and bringing money in the home?
Yes.
Yes.
I had a very wise sister once who told me once, the best way to help your husband to work is for you to stop working. Now, that is if you're not going to starve to death, because your husband will be motivated by the need of the family, should be. If your husband loves you, he will be motivated by the needs of the family to work and maintain what the family needs. A lot of times sisters do too much, and the man is therefore free to do too little. So if you're doing too much, stop doing too much. Let one or two of the bills go. You can sit in the dark for a couple of hours. It won't kill you, and he'll figure out that I need to do something extra to bring in income. But then before we get to that, you can make excellent suggestions. Preparation helps to prevent poor performance. So help our brothers in terms of continuing education, in terms of technical assistance, and if they need to go to technical college, or they need to go back to school, if they need to further a degree, if they need to learn how to do something from a brother in the mosque that is doing it, whatever you need to do to encourage him to do that so that he can become able. It's all about positioning ourselves in life to be able to do the things that we want to do. And you can encourage him to do that by positioning him, and then by giving him a reason to do it. And that means you do what you're supposed to do. We want to always be encouraging in a positive way for our husbands to be successful.
All right.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sir. Again, this is Sister Sharita X again from another Clean Glass production in the Spirit Connection. I just wanted to add another to it. But I do have a question for our beloved Sister Sharifa. Sister Sharifa, in terms of relationships, we're talking about intimacy. How important, or can you expound on or share some things with us about being in a good relationship with yourself? Because I know that we are, or not when we're married, we are a couple, but we're individuals as well. And the reason I ask this question, ma'am, is because, one, I know that you do a lot of things, and you said it yourself, we all have a purpose to fulfill. So can you please expound on, give us some, you know, inspiration in developing a relation to ourselves, and also in our own pursuit individually as a person for happiness. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
It's the key to success in life, period. Not only just in relationships, but in fulfilling yourself, meeting your goal as an individual. You have to find your purpose, experience your purpose, and work towards it. You have to have always set goals and give yourself opportunity. There again, it's positioning yourself, having a relationship with yourself, finding out what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are so that you can shore them up, and then what you are interested in. Every day, each individual, in order to grow, has to learn something. If you spend days doing the same thing in the same way and never learning, never deviating from that and doing something that will encourage you, that will grow you as an individual, as a person and in your faith and in your relationship, you're missing life. Every day you should learn something new, see something different, do something new, and that will help you to become always an interesting person. I hear a lot in relationship counseling where the brother says, I lost interest in my wife. That's because she lost interest in herself and ceased to become interested. You have to every day grow yourself, grow your relationship. But your relationship with Allah is the most important thing, and you strengthen that
through constant prayer and then listen to what he's giving you and the direction that he's sending you in life. If he gives you a clue, if he says, you know, you thought you were one thing, but I really think you're this, go with that. You're going to change all your life all the time. The road is different all the time. If the road becomes the same and you're falling asleep, change road.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, beloved.
All right.
Assalamu alaikum.
Well, thank
Brother Marcus, Sister Diane, may I ask one more question, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, sir. And again, this question is to Sister Sharifa. Sister Sharifa, I was thinking about in the Holy Quran, in the time of war, you know, how the protection, the prophet, the men took on extra wives because of the day and the time. And I'm kind of thinking about, like, our single sisters, our elderly sisters. What do you think the role of the brothers are in relationship to making sure in helping to train maybe the sister, the single sister's child going to dump our elderly garbage, doing different things like that? Because it seems like we have gotten away from that. And our sisters seem to be out there alone. And you may have some wives that may be intimidated, thinking that the brother is not going to really do the right thing in dealing with the sister. But again, what do you think about this relationship that the men should, that we should still have, even with our, again, single sisters that's raising their children alone, our elder sisters, the pioneers? Thank you, ma'am. I hope you understand that question.
Yes, ma'am, I do. I think that if the question is different, I get it different. There should be not a relationship, but a responsibility. The FOI are responsible for the protection of the nation. They are responsible for the protection of the sisters, young and old. And their responsibility is to protect. Their responsibility is to support. They are to help the sisters with the rearing of the young brothers. That is the FOI responsibility. A lot of the question that you ask, that is the responsibility of the MGT. The MGT is responsible for preparing the elderly, the young, all of the sisters, all of the women, young and old, for disaster preparedness, for safety. We are responsible for the military training of the women and girls in North America. That is the responsibility of the MGT. The FOI are responsible for protection beyond which that training does not reach. But in terms of relationships, we have to get in there and really become family again and take care of one another as women. It's the women who are to sit in with each other and to protect one another. And the men are out in the public, and we are in the home doing that kind of maintenance. Where there are no husbands, there should be a cover down with the class. But in terms of children, the male children, the FOI should be training them. But in terms of a relationship with the brothers and the sisters in a time of war, when we get to that, that will change. That's a different kind of relationship. But the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said we are not yet there. So in terms of that kind of, especially in the terms of a conversation about intimacy, we are not yet there. We need that kind of intimacy amongst the women.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're
all
very
right.
Welcome.
Praise be to Allah. We would like to ask just one or two other questions of Sister Sharifa and Brother Sharif. I want everybody to know who has a question. Just simply press *6 and you have access to them for this moment. Please ask your question so that we can make sure that your question is heard by all and answered. Anybody with a question, just press *6. We can get you. Okay, I'm trying to get my Sister Gidget. If that's you, Sister Gidget, just press *6 from the Nation Building Program. I want to make sure that any questions that you all have are able to be answered. Any questions at all, because we want to make sure that our guests have access, you have access to them tonight on our program. They've done a magnificent job, And, okay, I see, let me go right here. James, okay, you have the floor. James Parks, go ahead, please.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
I wanted to ask a question because I was going through a situation, and I actually have been separated for some time now. And I wanted to know, I mean, is that a way that, you know, marriage can be repaired if is separation for a period of time, is that a good thing, or is that something that can help to mend the marriage? You know, if we're actually living together and then we separate it for a period of time and, you know, try to grow together from that point, or you think that's not a good idea?
Brother Sharif, what do you think?
Yes, sir. The Quran tells us sometimes that we should separate for 90 days for a cooling off period. Sometimes that has to happen. So to answer my brother's question, sometimes it's good to be able to cool off. But during that time, what the Quran tells us also, during that period of time, you are not to have a relationship with a woman, and she is not to have a relationship with another man. So, yes, but those are the stipulations that goes along with that, though.
All right. Did that answer your question, brother?
Yes, sir. Well, I would like to know that stipulation that goes along with that.
Okay, I'm telling you, the stipulation is you are not to have an affair with another woman during that period of time.
Okay. That's definitely understandable.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Sharif.
Yes, sir.
All right. Very good. Next question. Anybody else have a question? We're winding down our show. We want to ask anybody with a question. Just press star 6, and we will put you right on up to ask whatever question you have. We have a trainer of men and a trainer of women among us today, and we are very fortunate to have them. All right. Now, I have a question, Brother Sharif, from a brother who I actually counseled with the other day, and he wanted to ask about how does pornography and its constant viewing, the constant viewing of pornography, destroy intimacy in marriages?
Because pornography, when you look at it, is really not real. That's a fantasy that destroys marriage and destroys relationships. It's really infidelity. That's exactly what that is. So I would say, you know, some brothers right now are hooked on that madness, you know. And I would say they need to get off of it and leave madness alone. It ain't nothing but a fantasy thing. It ain't real. So you come home and want your wife to practice all that madness that she is not capable of doing. So it destroys relationships. So
okay.
My answer is just don't burn it. I know it might hurt you right now, but burn it. Burn it.
So that's delete it. Delete it off the computer. Okay. All right. Praise be to Allah. Brother Sharif, I wanted to give you and Sister Sharifa the opportunity. Anything that you have going on that you would like to promote and tell us about, please take these last few minutes to tell us what you're trying to get done and accomplish so that we can support you, my brother.
All right, first of all, Bob Lewis Farquhar just coming off the Savior's Day. He wanted us to have this coming blueprint of Muhammad. We're asking everybody to help us just by one thing time. Your respect for life bookstore at gmail.com. Please, all we're asking is you to buy one bean pie. Everybody, you can order tomorrow. You are not too far away. You're not too close. But the average delivery. Just call that number I gave you. Email us tomorrow morning after 10 o'clock. We'll be ready for you. So everybody, buy a bean pie if you want to save your marriage. You don't buy a bean pie, you will have a bean pie.
So,
my wife and I, we're getting ready to, we'll let you all know real soon, we're going to do a marriage seminar. It's called Fighting for Your Marriage, the whole bar. We'll let you know when and where.
Okay. All right. Very good. We look forward to hearing that information.
Sister Sharifa, did you have anything you wanted to share? Any final thoughts, ma'am, on this topic of intimacy?
None at all. Just to pray for one another. I pray for everyone's marriage. I pray for those single men, single women, believing men and believing women, and that I pray that we are all successful in our marriages. And we look forward to you, Brother Marcus, joining you and your lovely wife, Pigeon Four.
All praise is due to Allah, sister. We're going to have a wonderful time, and I guarantee you there will be many brothers and sisters there. They will have questions. You won't be able to sleep with all the questions that we got for you. Praise be to Allah. I want to thank everybody for coming out tonight and sharing your evening with us. We try to give you the most productive, informative evening that is possible, and we did our very best tonight by the grace of Almighty God to really share with you and learn at the same time on this topic of intimacy. Tonight we had one of the stars of the Nation of Islam, the Brother Abdul Sharif Muhammad and his lovely wife, Sister Sharifa. Brother Sharif is the Southern Regional Representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, just doing an outstanding job in the city of Atlanta, Georgia. And we feel very honored to have had him and his wife on our program tonight. It was very thought-provoking, very real, very honest. And we did not get a chance, dear family, for those of you who are in the webinar portion of our program tonight, I would like for you to please go to our homepage. You will see it right under our picture. You will see the meeting resources portion. There's a document called March 10, 2013, the Intimacy Worksheet. We have developed intimacy worksheets for you to go and to really look at your marriage and really see if there are some issues there that you need to take note of and to try to resolve. We would like to invite you to go right now to the meeting. Go to the meeting resources. It's on the home page that is identified on wherever you got this information from. And it will, you download that to your computer, and you and your spouse can work together to resolve those issues. And there is help if you need help tonight. We want you to know that we are planning the 4th Annual Marriage Retreat, dear brothers and sisters. It is really for you and I to work on our marriages and to get some good counsel. And this is the best you're going to get because it's damn near free that we're doing it for. But we're not, the environment you're coming into is the mountains of Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. It is absolutely beautiful there, and you're going to have a wonderful time. You're going to laugh, you're going to cry, you're going to think a lot about your marriage, and it's not for children, it's for adults. We're going to have grown-up conversations, and we're going to talk about real stuff. If you go to our website, www.blackmarriageretreat.org, you will see all the details, and we promise you we will have nothing but love for you and your spouse. You ain't got to hold no post. This time we want you to come and work on your marriage, and we're going to have a good time doing it along with those who we're going to invite from across the country to come and help us to be successful. With that, brothers and sisters, we thank you so very much. We're going to close with prayer, but before we close with prayer, we would like to also remind you, brothers and sisters, that next week on our program, we're going to be addressing our single brothers and sisters, and we have a topic that we've selected by the grace of Allah called commitment phobia. Did you hear me? Commitment phobia is for all of our brothers and sisters who want to know, why won't the brother ask for my hand in marriage? Maybe he has commitment phobia. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to have some special worksheets for next week, inshallah, for all of you to do, single brothers and sisters. We want to thank you again for listening, and we would like to now close with prayer. So if you would just stand wherever you might be tonight, we will go ahead and close with prayer. And then, of course, you know we got to close with our song, because somebody tonight needs to... Oh, yeah, we're going to close with Sister Sharifa and Brother Sharif's favorite song, because we know their favorite song. So tonight, can I get one of the brothers to close out with prayer. Well, I guess there ain't no brothers. I guess I'll be the brother to close out with prayer.
What is that song called?
Brother Sheree, what's your favorite song called?
Jeff Holiday.
Okay, that's what I know. Okay, yes, sir. There you go. I found it immediately. It was one of the first songs that came up. And we're going to, which one you want to hear? You want to hear Jennifer Holiday sing it, or you want to hear the new version of it?
Jennifer Holiday.
Okay, we're going to go back to Jennifer. Let me get the old school Jennifer Holiday, and we're going to have a good time with it in just a second. So,
the music of the 60s, Dreamgirls, the new musical of the Imperial Theater, is really a musical for the 80s. A splashy tour de force with the most up-to-date razzle-dazzle in the Broadway theater.
Let's pray first. Let's pray. Brothers and sisters, in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the world. The beneficent, the most merciful, master of the day of judgment in which we now live. Thee alone do we serve, thee alone do we beseech for your aid and your assistance. O Allah, please guide us on the straight path, the path upon those whom you have bestowed your favor, not upon the path of whom your wrath has been brought down. Nor those who have gone astray after they have heard your divine and your Sharia's most holy teaching. Amen. Thank you, nation, family. We really want to thank you, all of our Clean Glass production, the Nation Building Movement. Thank you all so very much. May Allah bless and keep you. Salaam alaikum.
There has to offer, and it's a nominee for Best Musical. On this scene, the girl's been fired from a risingly successful singing group. She's been fired.
My dress.
I know they did.
Well, where's my dress? I always knew you two were made up for me.
I know it's the song, but I want the song. I want my Jennifer.